Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Tonight, as I invite you to turn there, this will be the final message in the series that we're doing that I've entitled The Good Fight of Faith. Amen. And so tonight will be the final message. And tonight, if you're taking notes like many of you do, like I encourage you to do, thank you. If you're online tonight, I encourage you to grab a Bible and something to write with. Praise the Lord. And you're going to receive something from God tonight. Amen. Praise God. And so tonight's message is going to be entitled, Identify Yourself. Amen. Identify yourself. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean by that, or at least give you an illustration. Say you had gone on a trip and you spent the night in a hotel room. At about 1 o'clock in the morning, there came a knock on your hotel room door. Amen. Well, I'm sure you, like me, are not just going to jump up and just run to the door and open the door, okay? And in most hotel rooms, if there's that little peephole, and you look at it and they look, and it kind of looks funny through that peephole, don't? And so if somebody knocked on your door, whether it's at a hotel room or or at your house in the at night, you may take a few moments to get there for various reasons. Praise the Lord. Amen. But one of the things that you're probably not going to do is open that door up. One of the things, because you may not be able to really clearly see who's on the other side, something that you may say is identify yourself. In other words, what you're saying, who are you? Who's there? Okay? And so tonight, when I say identify yourself in this message, I'm saying who you are. Amen. In other words, tell me who you are. Amen. And so keep that in your mind, because tonight, as we talk about this, it will make most definitely sense. We're going to look at Philemon verse 6. There's only one chapter in Philemon. It's verse 6. So therefore, it's just verses. So we're going to look at verse 6 tonight, but we're going to look at it from the Amplified Translation. And it says this, it says, and I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto His glory. Amen. Notice the phrase, every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus. That phrase, in our identification with Christ. So obviously what that, one of the things that means is there's some good things that's connected to our identification with Jesus Christ. So we better know what being identified with Jesus Christ means. So obviously there's some good things, and it's going to come from our knowledge of, notice, a appreciation, understanding, and precise knowledge of every good thing. So there's no bad things in this. There's no bad things in our identification with Jesus Christ, but God wants us to know what they are. And so this phrase, our identification with Jesus Christ, means this: who you and I are in Christ. God wants us to know, this is necessary, who we are in Jesus Christ, or who we are in Christ. That's what it means to say that is ours and in our identification with Christ. Amen. In other words, it is just saying you need to know, through the knowledge of God's word, we can know who we are in Christ. Or you can say like this, who God says you and I are in Christ Jesus. And this is how God has called us to identify ourselves. In other words, when I say tell me who you are or identify yourself, you and I, if we're in Christ, need to say the same identical thing that God says about us. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. And so this is what our identification with Christ means. And so here's a great statement. Those who are most effective or will be most effective in their Christian life and ministry will know and understand all that is theirs in their identification in or with Christ. In other words, who they are in Christ. If you and I are truly going to be successful in life and ministry, those that are the most successful as believers are going to actually know who they are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so identification means simply who you are. It reveals who you are. It both identifies who you are. See, if I pull out identification tonight, if you got stopped once again, if you get stopped tonight, the police officer pulls you over, what is he going to ask for? Identification. He's looking for identification because it tells him who you are. Your identification is who you are, but it also not only identifies who you are, but it tells others who you are. Amen, and that's important. So our identification with Christ means when we accept Jesus Christ. How many of people in here tonight have accepted Jesus Christ? So get this straight. This means that when you and I have accepted Jesus Christ, or that means when we get saved, we get in Christ. Or we get, as it could be said, in Christed. God, what that actually means is, and I didn't think about bringing it out tonight, but God actually puts us in Christ. In other words, He joins us to Christ. He puts us in union with Christ. Amen. And it is this new union and relationship with Him that we get a brand new identity as well. Because if you remember in previous messages that we talked about, the word identification actually conveys two main ideas. The idea of union with and identity. And so it is through our identification with Christ or our union with Christ, we actually getting put into Christ and Christ in us, that we actually get in Christ it, but in getting in Christ it, we actually get a brand new identity. God makes us a brand new being that never existed before. Amen. Now, if that sounds foreign to you, that is only because you haven't read your Bible through the lens of what's called revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is a revelation, is knowledge that's revealed from the Word of God. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, in long about verse 18, somewhere between 15 and 20 there, he's talking to his disciples and he asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they answered and said, "Well, some say this and some say that." How many know there's a lot of people that say different things? But then he got down to the brass tacks. You know, they said some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say you're one of the prophets. So. But he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the Living God." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Peter, you're right. But flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you." In other words, man didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this unto you. And upon this rock, in other words, upon this rock of revelation knowledge, I will build my church. So when he says flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, he says you didn't get this from man, or you didn't get this from natural assumption or knowledge. This came from revelation of the Spirit of God. In other words, it's called revelation knowledge. And how many know revelation knowledge helps us to see the same thing that God sees? Amen. And so when it comes to identification with Christ, this is why this is so important, because we need revelation. We need to see who God is saying we are and have become. Amen. And so I'm going to say it again. When we get saved, when we receive Christ, we actually get what the Bible calls, what God calls in Christ or in Christ. And I'll show you that. God puts us in union with Him, and through our union or new relationship with Him, we actually get a brand new identity. Amen. And the scripture calls it being in Christ. So here's what we find. We find there's five key phrases in the epistles. Oh, that's the New Testament letters written to the churches, primarily the ones that are written by the Apostle Paul. There's five key phrases in his writings that explain this. In other words, showing us our identification or our identity. In other words, who we really are. Yes, you do have a natural identity, but you don't just have a natural identity, you have a spiritual identity as well. You've got a natural name. I'm not denying that. That doesn't change. But remember, God sees all of humanity different than humanity sees humanity. God sees us, all humanity, either all in Adam or all in Christ. And in Adam, all man dies. How do you get in Adam? By just being born on this earth. And through Adam's sin, we all became sinners because we also sinned. But God sent the second Adam, or the last Adam, and that's Christ. In Adam, we're all humanity is either in Adam. In Adam, all die. The only way we can be made alive, that's why Christ came and died. And by making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, we get in Christ. We become in Christ, or we get in Christed, and we have a brand new identity. Now, we didn't lose our natural identity, but we actually gained a spiritual identity. And your spiritual identity is the one that you're going to be known at through all eternity. So this is what's important for us to know. And this is what the phrase, or these five key phrases, I'm going to tell you what these five key phrases are that we find our new identity at or in. And they are the words in Christ, through Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Lord, in the Spirit. That's six, because the word in Christ or through Christ means the same thing. All of them mean the same thing, or in Him. That means in Christ, in whom, in the Lord, or in the Spirit. All of these are five key phrases that you would do well to go through all the New Testament letters, especially the ones by the Apostle Paul. And every time you see one of those phrases, you circle that. Okay? Matter of fact, you're going to find there's approximately 100, there's northward of 130 of them. In other words, there's more than 130 of them in the New Testament. This tells us or reveals to us who God is saying we are. It is telling us our identity. It is telling us what God, who God says we are and who God calls us. Amen. It also, in other words, when it says, it tells us who we are, that's identity. It also tells us what we have, inheritance. And it also tells us what we can do, power and authority to live this life. Those phrases, when you find them, that talks about our identity in Christ, they actually tell us one of three things. Who we are, identity, what we possess, inheritance, and what we can do, the power and the authority we have to live this Christian life. All because we have been in Christed, or put in Christ. And with that, we have a brand new identity, a brand new inheritance, and the power and the authority to live this Christian life. That should be pretty exciting to us. But all of this comes from our identification or our identity in Christ. Amen. That's how we get it. So, in Christ, these 130 times that we find that were written to convey the truth that through our relationship or union with Jesus Christ, this is now how God views us, how He sees us, and who God says we are, because He has identified us with Jesus Christ. And having to know it's more important what he's done than anybody else has done. See, a lot of people, they can call you all kind of names. They can call you all kind of things. But God calls you in Christ. Amen. He calls you his sons and daughters. Amen. He calls you these things in Christ for specific reason. Amen. And we have a brand new spiritual identity. And as we find the scriptures, remember there's 100 northward or upward of 130 of them. And as we find those scriptures, they reveal who we are in Christ. Our new identity, then when we find them, then here's what happens. The Word of God takes on a brand new meaning to us. And it actually becomes exciting. Because now it's talking about you. It's not just talking about what happened to Peter. Not just happened to talk what happened to Christ. Thank God we get excited about what happened to Christ and all those. But it all happened. Everything Christ did wasn't for himself. Guess who it was for? It was for us. And so this is what this is revealing to us. And revelation knowledge gives us a spiritual understanding of who we are, what we have, and what we can do because of our identification with Christ or our new identity in Christ Jesus. And when we really understand that and we see that in the Word, then the Word of God takes on brand new meaning to us and becomes exciting. It is finding what the Scripture says about us, that not only makes the Word of God fresh and exciting, but it makes us powerful. And that's what needs to happen in our life. We need to move from being pitiful to being powerful. Not because of anything we've done, but because of whose we are, what we believe, and who we become. Praise God. So it's by knowing who we are in Christ that really changes everything. I'm going to say it again. It's knowing, this is why I've been talking about some of this for the going on since the beginning of this past year. Because it's knowing who we are in Christ. It's knowing our new identity that changes actually everything in our life. Identity is key to both destiny, in other words, fulfilling God's plan for your life. You know, God does have a plan for your life. You're not here by accident. I don't care what somebody may have told you. You might have been a surprise to your mama and daddy, but you're not a surprise to God. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Amen. And so no matter what somebody may have said about you or to you about that, that doesn't change how God views you. And identity is key to both destiny, fulfilling the plan of God's plan for your life, for the very reason that of your existence shows that you have purpose. Your very existence shows you have purpose. Many people are confused by that. But they don't know what it is. Well, you're not going to find it by asking Tom, Dick, and Harry or your best friend if your best friend don't know God. The only person that's qualified to tell you about your future and your destiny is the one that gave it to you, and that's God himself. The only one that's qualified to tell you about your future and your destiny is your Creator. Amen. And he knows it. And that's why And so I'm telling us identity is key to both destiny, fulfilling God's plan for your life, and your victory. Because it's knowing who you are in Christ that causes you and I to walk in victory. Hallelujah. Now let me show you how this is so true. And just give you a couple simple examples of this before we turn it on ourselves again. Okay. How about the life of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen, 100% God, yet 100% man. He had to be in order to pay the price for our sins, amen. He was no less God by becoming a man. And so what we must understand is that Jesus Christ came to this earth, and when he did, he humbled himself and became a man. Think about this. God himself took on the form of a man. The reason he had to take on the form of a man, because a man got us into all this mess, then a man is going to have to get us out of this mess. The problem with that is all man had sinned. But there had to be a man that was going to come that could represent man and represent God. That means that he had to be like man, but he had to be identical to God as well. And so, because he had to be sinless, he had to take the place of man and pay the price for man's sin. And so he humbled himself and became just like you and I. He became a man without sin. And doing that, he had to lay down his divine power and operate as a man. This is why the Holy Spirit had to anoint him, amen, like it says in the Gospels, as well as recorded in the book of Acts, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so he didn't stop being God, but he laid down the divine privilege and the power of being God. And he was anointed by the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, and he operated as a man anointed by the Spirit of God to show us how to do things. But he took the place, our place, that deserved sin or the judgment of sin. He was judged for our sins, the innocent for the guilty, so the guilty could be, by faith in Christ, become innocent. So, With that being said, we find out that Christ, in coming, becoming a man, listen, he lived an example of how we have to live. So remember, I don't have time to turn there, but in the book of Luke, it says he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. That means that when he was born in this earth, he grew naturally, just like you and I have to do. He had to actually, he didn't know everything because he was God. He had to find all those things out from the Word of God, just like you and I have to find it out. In other words, now we may never thought about that, but he had to find that out. And it's finding out, reading the scripture, that find out who he was, that caused him to be able to know who he was, but to fulfill his destiny and walk in the plan of God. And how many know that plan was to take away the sin of the world and to destroy the works of the devil? He found it all by this. Okay, so let me prove that to you. In Luke chapter 4, turn there with me in verse, we'll find that when Jesus, remember, Jesus was no less God at the age of 29 than he was at 30. Or no less God, the Son of God, as a baby that he was at 30. What happened at the age of 30? I can tell you what happened at the age of 30. He entered into the ministry that God called him into because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And then from that place on, when he was baptized with the Holy Ghost and with power, from that place on, he actually went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. He destroyed the works of the devil by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so here's the thing. When we see him get filled with the Holy Spirit, and now it says he goes in the synagogue. Now look what it says. He came to Nazareth when he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. What does it mean, his custom was? It was his habit. We would say it like this. It was his habit to go to church. You want a good habit? I'm going to tell you a good habit. A good habit is to show up when the doors are open. A good habit is to come to church. Now I realize people got schedules and all these kind of things, but I can tell you, it's Jesus' habit, it was his custom, was one translation says, it was his habit to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Okay, so the reason I say this is so important, because who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the Son of God. And he says, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. That means whatever we see Jesus say or do has to be the will of God. So that means this, he did it all the time. It means it's the will of God all the time for all of us. Praise the Lord. Let me move on and get it. Okay, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue and stood on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Now, if we keep on reading, I forgot about this. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, verse 20. And he sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he's saying, this is talking about me. This is talking about me. See, he found the place that was written of him. And you know, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to find the places written about you. But the good news is you got 130 of them. Northward of 130 of them. Let me give you an example. John the Baptist, he did the same thing. John the Baptist, and we want to look at this. Praise the Lord. John the Baptist, it was true for John the Baptist in John chapter 1, verse 19 to 23. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. See, they're asking him, they want to know if he's the Christ, if he's the Messiah. He said, I'm not the Messiah. Verse 21, and he said that they asked him, then what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. And he goes on, and he said unto them, who art thou? And that we may give an answer to them that sent us, what sayest thou of yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. He is quoting there Isaiah 40, verse 3. In other words, he is saying, I found my destiny, I found my destiny, my identity, my assignment in the Word of God, and I'm living it out. Then this is the same thing that Jesus said, because when Jesus quoted what he quoted, he was quoting Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. He found the place that was written of him. And I'm here today to tell you that if we're smart, we are going to find the place that is written about us. And that is these in Christ scriptures. Notice their purpose, destiny, and victory all came from finding the places written about them. And it will be the same for us. That's why we actually have been given the in Christ scriptures, so that you and I can identify ourselves correctly. Come on. You might have done what they said you done, but you aren't who they say you are. Come on. Come on, you are who God says you are. And if you and I are going to be successful and victorious, then you and I are going to have to do the same. What do you mean we're going to have to do the same? We're going to have to find those 130 scriptures that talk about who we are in Christ, that identifies us or gives us our new identity in Christ. And then we're going to have to say that's who we are. We're going to have to renew our mind to the fact that we are new and different, and God's made us that way, and find out what that means, what that looks like, and what that pertains to for us to be successful. You and I must identify or find ourselves in the Word, for our new and our true identity is in Christ. It's in Christ. Let me tell you something. All humanity is either in Adam or in Christ. In Adam, you're defeated. You have the same identical fallen nature. Come on, you. In Adam, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you die. in Christ, you're made anew. You're made alive, and you have the same identical life, the same identical victory that Christ has. Praise God. This is not some religious thing. This is a reality that changes everything for us. In Acts 17:28, the Passion Translation says it like this. Paul was standing at Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, and he's witnessing to people with all kind of pagan gods. And I find it amazing that this is what he talked about. He says, it is through him, Jesus Christ, that we live and function and have our identity. Woo! Glory to God. So he introduced the pagan world to a God by saying he's the one that we really get our identity from. You can't even know you without knowing God. So who we really are is who we are in Christ. Let's look at some scriptures quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, here's an in Christ scripture, possibly the greatest in Christ scripture in the entire Bible. Therefore, if any man or woman or anyone be in Christ, there it is, in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. It didn't say he will be. It didn't say he's going to be in the sweet bye-bye. He says he is a new creature. It says old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We're going to look at the Living Bible of this. It says it like this. So when someone becomes a Christian, in other words, you become born again. See, a lot of people call themselves Christians, but the only way you can become a Christian is by giving your heart to Jesus Christ, by being saved, being born again. Then you get in Christ. So when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. It brings out something very significant that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 reminds us of, that we are eternal spirit beings. That's the part of us that gets changed when we get born again. That's the part of us that gets the new identity as spirit man, the real you. But we are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We possess a soul, a mind. It's made up of your will, your mind. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotion. And you live in a body. One part of you is just like Christ. And that's the part of you that gets the new identity. And this is why it says he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. See, you got to see yourself in Christ. He came to live on the inside of you. He changes you from the inside out. And it's through the renewing of our mind that we can actually live this life out. See, but we gotta know what the Bible says. This is why we gotta find out who we are in Christ. It's finding out who we are in Christ and renewing our mind with that means it changes our way of thinking and our way of talking, our way of believing for God's. That changes us because it's called faith. The 20th century revised version says it like this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in union, notice, in union with Christ, he is a new being. His old life has passed away. A new life has begun. I believe the last time we talked about this, I actually quoted the Dean translation where it says that a man who is a Christian is not a man that's been merely altered, but a man remade. You've been remade. Praise God. I'm a new creature, or a new creation in Christ, and I have, and you have, a new identity. Actually, you take on his. Amen. Being a new creature or creation in Christ means you are a new person altogether. Altogether. You have a new identity, one identical to Christ himself. Your identification with Christ is wrapped around, or it means an identical identity. You have an identical identity with Jesus Christ. Identical, by definition, means sameness. It means to be same in all qualities under consideration or the same. So you're not just, I know sometimes we talk about being a changed person, and I get that, but you're not just a changed person, you're a different person altogether. Totally new one in Christ Jesus. And to the degree that we know that, accept that, believe that, and walk in that is the degree that we walk in victory. You don't have to accept it. You can live like you used to, or by who you used to. You can live by your former identity if you want to. And that's the only identity you can live by if you don't know this. But the moment you know this, it makes the Word exciting. It makes the Bible fresh and new. It makes you and I powerful. So when you identify with Christ, you're saying what's true about Christ is true about you. You have the identical life, nature, righteousness, power, and victory that Christ has. I'm not saying you're God. I'm saying because you're in Christ, you have what He has. And He died to make it that way. He died to give you a new identity, an identity in Him. That means the moment you become in union with Him, you get a brand new identity. And you have the same, I'm going to say it again, you have the same identical life, the same identical nature, the same identical righteousness, the same identical power and victory that Christ has. You got the same Holy Ghost He has. You got the same Word He has. I know religion will call that heresy, but this is the Bible, church. And if you've been a part of this church for any time, you know that it's the Bible. Look it up yourself. Don't believe it because I'm saying it. If I can't give you scripture and verse for it, then don't believe it. But I've given you scripture verse, and go to the 130. I'm giving you two right here. This is one right here. Let's look at a couple other ones. Are we ready? Okay. So that's what being in Christ means, what I've just talked about. And that's what your identification in Christ gives you. God actually has recreated or reproduced Himself and made a new man. A new woman, a new man, a new being. God has made a new creation. That's what that says. He has made a new being. He has made a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says it like this. It says, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." New Living Translation says, "For we are God's masterpiece, recreated in Christ Jesus." So in other words, is exactly what I had said, that God has recreated or reproduced Himself and made a new man. And whatever's in the original gets in all the copies, like I talked about last time. In other words, if you take let's update it a little bit. If we take a CD player and take the master copy and put it in the tower and hit the button record, that everything that's on the master gets on all the copies. Christ is the master, and when we make Him the Lord of life, we get in Him, He gets in us, and whatever's on the master gets in all the copies, because God has recreated us, reproduced Himself in us. We don't become God, we become the sons of God, with the very life and nature and victory, righteousness that Christ has. We should also know that when we get in Christ, that not only does God put us in Christ, but Christ is put in us. See, most of us know, and I focus on the other side, that remember I had that bucket last week, and I said, the bucket's Christ, and say, this is us. When God saves us, we get put in Christ. And what's in the bucket becomes swallowed up by the bucket. We can't see the old keys anymore. Why? Because all you see is Christ. We get put in Christ, but we should not forget that the moment we make Jesus Christ the Lord of life, guess who gets in us? He gets in us. I focused on the other side because that's the side that never gets talked about or doesn't get talked about enough. But let's focus back on this part about that God gets that Christ gets in us. So we should all know, also know that when we get in Christ, when we get saved, amen, not only does God put us in Christ, but Christ is put in us. Colossians 1, 26 and 27 says it like this. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Notice it, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said this is the great mystery that was hidden, but is now revealed through revelation knowledge. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me also tell you that identification in Christ is this part of this great revelation. Or this part of this great mystery, which is the revelation, how God, identification means, is the great mystery, how God puts man in Christ and puts Christ in man and changes us. I said, and changes us. That should make us excited. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20, with that being said, takes on a brand new meaning. I am crucified with Christ. Remember, with Christ or with Him. That's in Christ scripture. I have been crucified with Christ. What do you mean I've been crucified with Christ? In other words, in the mind of God, when Christ died, when you accept Christ, you died with Him. Whatever He died for, you died to. He died for sin, so you die to your sin. So it wouldn't have power over you. I have been crucified with Christ. And you know what? Crucifixion is the place of what? Death. Somebody dies. But Christ wasn't the only one that died on the cross that day. According to Almighty God, you and I died with Him. In other words, the moment, in other words, God reckoned or counted it, that every person that would ever accept Christ, that they would die as well. Because Christ had died for them. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who lives in me? Christ lives in me. Paul is telling us this belongs to us because we're in Christ. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Boy, that takes on a new meaning. I don't have time to go all over this, but listen to what the Distill Bible translation says of this. He says, Paul says, I consider myself having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Boy, if that don't blow your mind. A new existence. I'm simply enjoying a new existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is so good. Maybe T.L. Osborne. Anybody ever heard of T.L. Osborne? He's probably won more people to Jesus Christ than a modern-day apostle and evangelist, possibly than anyone since the Apostle Paul. T.L. Osborne, he's in heaven now. He said it best concerning this possibly. He said this. He said, little I moved out and big Christ moved in. In other words, when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, when we gave Him our heart and we became identified with Christ, little I moved out, big Christ moved in. That isn't to give us the big head. This is causes us to be able to understand how we're to live and walk. How we're to view ourselves and see ourselves. Because if you don't, you won't walk the way God called us to walk. The truth is, what happened to you and I in Christ, I hope you get this, is bigger than anything that's ever happened to you in life. So in other words, God did something in Christ. That all the terrible things that happened to you in your life, and there's some terrible things that happened to people. People have been used, abused, tortured. They've had horrible things happen to them. So how do you supposed to live through that? How do you supposed to go to war and see your best friends get their heads blowed off and see your friends die? How do you suppose to win over those things? How do you suppose to live after seeing the horrors of hell that this earth and people and the evils that people will do to you and Not to mention your real enemy, Satan, all that he's arrayed against you. How do we suppose to overcome that? Simple. Through a new life in Christ. I know it's easier said than done, but the truth is, what happened to you and I in Christ is bigger than anything that has ever happened to you in life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me make this statement. I've run out of time. There's a number of things that I wanted to cover that we won't have a chance to tonight. But through our good confession, it's through our good confession. Remember, let's put it back, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. We're gonna finish with this. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, which you are also called, and confess the what? The good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Everybody say good confession. It is through our good confession that we actually identify ourselves with Jesus Christ and actually fight and win the good fight of faith. It's through our good confession that we identify with Christ. In other words, it's how we take our place in Christ. It's how we take our stand in faith through our good confession. And through our good confession, we identify with Jesus Christ. We actually say the same thing that God says about us. That's how we win. So it's through our good confession that we actually, and confession, what does confession mean? Confession means to say the same thing. It means to agree with. Actually, in this context, it means to say the same thing that God says about you. Sameness is the same word we talked about. What's the synonym of sameness? Identical. Identity. In other words, it's through our good confession that we not only fight the good fight of faith, but we lay hold on eternal life and possess everything that was willed by us in Christ. So tonight, what we want to do is, come on, Brother Ryan, and help me after we do our confession together. Tonight, we want to stand to our feet and make our good confession. Amen. In other words, what we're going to do is these are scriptures that identify who you now are if you are in Christ. So we're going to say this together. You got them. If you don't have them, then you can get them. We have them in bookmark form at the information center. And we got a handout that's got them in it as well that has a part of one of the teachings that we did on this. So let's say this together. I am a child of God. I am a new creation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am delivered and forgiven. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have power, love, and a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have eternal life. I have the faith of God. I have the love of God in my heart. I have authority over the powers of darkness. I hear God's voice, and I'm led by His Spirit. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Thank you, Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror because of you. Come on, give God a shout of praise in here tonight if you do believe that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know I believe it. I thank you, Father, tonight. You may be seated. I thank you tonight for this mighty truth.